Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise of thanksgiving. Lord, we shout, we celebrate, Lord, what you have done and what you will do, God, because you are a great God and you are a loving Savior. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. And the psalmist said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we want to do that tonight, enter into thanksgiving, to praise and to lift up our King. Amen. And to worship him. And good to have our guests with us, several with us tonight. And we're so glad that you joined us on this Thanksgiving night. Amen. We just invite you to give thanks to God as we do throughout this service. It's good to have our young people who are usually in the fellowship hall area having service on this midweek service, and our Spanish church is with us tonight. So we're glad to have all of you in this service. Amen. Worshiping together. And the Bible tells us that's how it's going to be, isn't it? When we get to heaven around the throne, every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. And what are we going to be doing? We're going to be praising and thanking our God for saving us. Give him one more praise before we go any further. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for the opportunity, Jesus, not only to be in your house, but to be with your people, God, the sheep of your pasture. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, this is a different kind of a night because we choose to give thanksgiving to God in several ways. Amen. And I have chosen three people that are going to speak to us and give us a testimony of what God has done in their life. The first one I've asked to speak is Brother Dale Smith, and I've asked him because he has a great heritage that he wants going to share to us, that God has blessed him in many ways and allowed him to be around this Pentecostal truth for many, many years. Amen. And we want him to come and share a little bit about thankfulness for his heritage.
This is not my idea, but we're going to go with it. First, I get my glasses out. I'm over 40, so I need to be able to read. Okay, I was raised in Belleville, Illinois, across the river in the 50s and 60s, basically. At that time, there was two UPC churches in Belleville. And my grandmother on my dad's side attended Brother O.J. Underwood's church. So we went to Sunday school there. And he was one of the four founders, on the east side at least, of the United Pentecostal Heritage. The Kessler family also went to church with us. I knew the whole Kessler family all my life. And Brother Underwood, he was a big man. I was just young, but remember him. But he couldn't read or write. He could write his name, but he could read the Bible. I would watch him. He would open his Bible, and he could read the Bible. And then that's all. He couldn't read newspapers or anything, but the Lord blessed him being able to do that. And then in the evening services, we went to the other church in town. There were seven of us Smiths, Brother Paul Frazee, who had married my mother's sister. So that's why we went to the two churches, because we had family in each, trying to keep peace, I guess. I don't know. Uncle Paul was big advocate for home and foreign missions, and was also big in the Illinois campground. My mother, Virginia Smith, got the Holy Ghost in 1937 at the Assembly of God Church in Belleville, along with many of her siblings, her mothers, and several members of the Hudson family, who originally lived in Belleville and then moved to Granite City from there. So my family's known the Hudson family all their life. My mom was an avid reader, quilter, and gardening. And each night, it didn't matter if she was sick or what, she'd read 33 chapters of the Bible, King James Version, every night. Didn't matter how big or how small. So when you figure that out, she'd read the Bible through eight times every year. She did that for 30 or 40 years. And then she lost her eyesight, and then she would listen to the Bible on tapes after that. And I'll say a little bit. My mom was, of course, she was in Sunday school, a teacher, and did a lot of things in the church. She's a Girl Scout leader for years on the east side, one of the main leaders on the east side. She taught, instructed first aid out of Scott Air Force Base. She's on the school board. She was on a lot of stuff. And then when Mom was 89 years old, she had a stroke, and she got paralyzed on her right side. And but the good Lord, somebody's notes just fell, left her keep a sound mind and allowed her to use her right arm. And when after mom got a stroke, she went to the hospital, and then they sent her to a nursing home for rehabilitation. And while she was there, she was always praying. That's about all she could do. But she had hit her hand on the right side of her body or her bed. And many times they would put her in her home there, in the nursing home, in her room, I mean. And when you still came in the front door of the nursing home, you could hear, even though it was a long, long ways off. There was four of us siblings, but my one brother lives in Jackson, Mississippi. So three of us siblings took care of mom. We'd go feed her every meal and took care of all her needs, even at the nursing home, because she was blind and helpless. And then after about 6 months, she started getting bed sores and all. So my one sister and I decided we'd bring her home and care for her. And a few months, her bed sores left, and the visiting nurses that would come once a week said they'd never seen such care given to a person in mom's condition. But that was the one way we tried to honor mom. And then about, 2 years later, she died at the age of 92. My dad was also 92. My dad had tarried for the Holy Ghost from 30 to 40 years. That's a long time. And one night in 1985, it was on a Wednesday night, service at Brother Bowinger's church there in Belleville. There was a missionary there from Africa, Sister Freeman. And after she spoke, Dad went and was seeking for the Holy Ghost as usual. Dad would pray for hours at a time. He'd wear everybody out. Anyway, that night, he prayed for about an hour or so. And Sister Freeman stopped Dad from praying and said, "Leonard," because she knew the whole family, "how do you feel?" And Dad replied, "Wonderful." And Sister Freeman asked, "Is this always how you feel after you pray?" And Dad replied, "Yes." And she said, "Leonard, that's because you have the Holy Ghost. Because I heard you speaking in a native tongue that I preach and teach in Africa. And you need to accept it, that you do have the Holy Ghost." The Freemans, like I said, the Freemans are great missionaries and great friends of the family. And in 1954, they came home in their first deputation from Africa. And Sister Freeman was quite an outspoken person at times. And the family would always get together with the missionaries, because the Freemans were staying with my aunt and uncle, the Frazies, at the time. Most of them did. And we had a get-together and with the meal. And Sister Freeman said she would needed two things, and one or two things for her, the mission field. And one was a wash machine to wash the clothes. So my mom and her siblings bought her a gas-powered washing machine, because all they had was gas. They had no electricity at that time where they were at in Africa. And the second thing she wanted was a shotgun, which my Uncle George bought for her, a 12-gauge shotgun. And she said she wanted to keep that, as she called them, critters away all the time. So she would shoot in the air to keep the lions and the tigers and stuff away. But then the smaller animals she would shoot and give it to the natives, and they would eat it. So Brother Levine was not the first big game hunter in UPC. Sister Freeman was back in 1954. Now with this, I have nothing to do with this, but there's about 17 UPC licensed ministers in my family. I think one or two more, but I don't know. I'm trying to keep track. Can't keep track of my own stuff. And there's 25 or 30 altogether if you want to get into the marriages through the family. But the one that I stayed with, he was my grandfather's cousin. It was M.J. Wolfe, Melvin John Wolfe. He was a good friend of mine. Brother Wolfe and Brother Brandon were great friends, and they worked together in many of the first things of the UPA. In the 40s, they helped get together several organizations, along with Brother Chambers and several others, to form the UPC as it is today. Brother Branning and Brother Wolf also helped form the districts, which is each state, of course, District of Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, Kentucky and Tennessee, and I know several more. Brother Wolf is also head of Tupelo's Children's Home for many years, and he's also the head of the Illinois District News. Anyway, in 1989, I got occupational asthma. I was a specialist welder. I welded in barges and in cement plants, and from breathing the welding fumes and oxygen, I got asthma, where my I just couldn't breathe. That's a whole other story. Anyway, during that time, it took me several months to recuperate, so they asked if I would stay with Brother Wolf in his last days. So I stayed, me and my, my one nephew and I guess would be proper, stayed with him. I stayed with him most of the time, and we became very good friends until his death in 1990. And I always knew of him and everything, but in those 2 years, I really became to know him, and he was really a great man. And he was a very humble man also, which really affected me. He'd always write me these little notes and cards saying how he appreciated me. And right before his death, he told me outside of his wife, Goldie, that was the best friend he ever had. And the one last thing I will say, it seems like it's a big thing in UPC, which is fine. I have a brother that lives in Jackson, Mississippi. He goes to Brother Fraser's church down there. And anyway, with him, with Kenneth and the Smith family, there's six generations of UPC in our family. Good enough?
Did you hear what he just said? That last statement? He said six generations of UPC in his family. I was going to start with five, actually, when he got finished, and asked how many had five generations in your family and ask you to stand up. But I guess we'll start with six, since I know he has. Go ahead and stand up. If you've got six generations in your family, there's a few here that serve God. Now, how many have, stay standing, if you will. Go ahead and stay standing. How many have five? You've got five generations. I've got five in our family. Four generations that have been around the Pentecostal church. Three generations. Don't worry, we're going to get about all of you here in a minute. Two generations. And how many of you, you're the first one. You came, your first generation Pentecost. That's all right, stand. Let's all stand. Amen. Why don't we give God glory for this heritage that he has given us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for allowing us to hear your truth and to know your truth, and many of us to be raised in your truth, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. While you're standing, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. As we mentioned, we have a few needs that we're holding up to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bruce Arnold continues to need our prayer, has been in the hospital. If you'd pray that God would strengthen him. Jim West recovering from surgery, let's remember him. Johnny Hook and also a woman by the name of Grace both have pancreatic cancer, needing a touch from the Lord. Carol Gibson and Carol Gibbons also both in need of a healing touch. And Sister Jackie Griffith also in need of healing. So if you would remember these names. And then, of course, we want to continue to pray for the Brady family, passing of Steve Brady, for Tim and Sandy. Funeral was today. But let's just pray for God's comfort and strength to them. Know God can be with that family. If you have a need, take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And let's go and ask for God's help in these needs. And the Lord, we're thankful, God, because you are a healer. Because, Lord, we know we can turn to you. We can call upon you. You're a very present help. Your word tells us in time of need. So we pray for these that need your touch today, God. We pray for the Lord, Brother Arnold, for Brother West, Lord, for Johnny Hook, Carol Gibson, Carol Gibbons, for Grace, and for Sister Griffith, Lord. Pray, God, for your strength to them, that you will reach down, that you will heal, that you will touch. In Jesus' name, we pray for comfort, Lord, and peace to the Brady family, Lord, for Tim and Sandy, Lord. Your strength to them. I know, God, that you're able to be the comfort that they need, the strong tower that they run to, we pray, in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, any needs in this place, Lord Jesus, you know what we have need of. You said even before we ask, and I pray that you will move in every situation, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then let's thank him for hearing us tonight, because the word tells us his ear is tuned. Thank you, God, because I know you have heard our cry, God. We know you are working, and we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you for it, Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. This next young lady, she also has a great heritage, but I didn't ask her to speak on that. I just left it to tell what God has done for her. Sister Lindsay Shannon, come and tell us your testimony.
Praise the Lord. Well, judging by the look on my family's face, I think I forgot to tell them that I was speaking. Surprise! But I was asked to speak for a few minutes tonight about what I'm thankful for. And just to quote the song, he's done so much for me, I simply cannot tell it all. But I wanted to go ahead and share a small part of my testimony, and probably the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart. And the testimony that I would like to share with you all tonight is the testimony about how the Lord healed my body and gave me not only one, but two miracles. For everyone to fully understand, I want to tell you all of our story, so I'll start at the beginning. Thanksgiving of 2009, Joe and I had been dating for about 2 months, and we were spending our first holiday together with his family, and I was really hoping to win them over. So I made a pumpkin cheesecake, and I brought that to the Thanksgiving dinner, and obviously it worked. In January of 2011, we were married, and just in case you'd like to see firsthand how I became a Shannon, I did bring that tonight for the fellowship. So January 2011, we were married, and like all young couples, we began immediately dreaming about our future together and where our journey together would lead. We were dreaming about where we would live, our careers, our kids, everything. Now, flashback just for a minute with me to my high school years, which would have been about 10 years ago. I remember my junior year, they brought in the school counselor and gave us the college and career lecture to get us thinking about our future plans. And if you would have asked me in that moment what I wanted to be, I would have told you, I want to be a mom. Now, that's not all that I wanted to be, but that was definitely the most important to me. That was number one on my list. I wanted to raise incredible children to do incredible things in this world. And I'll never forget a quote that my brother said once. He said, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something that you do, but someone that you raise. And then the medical diagnosis began in the spring of 2013. Just 2 years after we were married, we were told that if we had planned on having children, it might be a hard road for us, and we were probably going to struggle if we ever were able to have children. If then you fast forward to the spring of 2015, by this time I was pretty broken, and I was depressed. However, during that time, I had received a promise from the Lord that I would have a son. Even though I was down, I clung to that promise, and many days I just repeated the psalm in my head that says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I know that some here like us have struggled with that, and like many trials that we face, it truly does consume you. That year, I went to the Missouri Ladies Conference with my mom. It was at the end of April in 2015, and Sister Vonnie Marshall was one of the speakers in that conference, and the very last day that she was speaking in the last service, during the altar call, my mom and I were sitting in the back, and we began to pray. And when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me that I needed to go to the front to pray. And that's a little out of my comfort zone, but I went. I looked at my mom. I asked her if she wanted to go up with me, and without hesitation, she said yes. So I brought her with me, and we made our way up, and as we got up there, we stood at the back of the crowd that surrounded the platform, and we began to pray again. And immediately when I began to pray again, the Lord spoke to me and said, no, all the way to the front. And that was definitely out of my comfort zone. But you see, aside from wanting to be obedient, I was desperate. I was desperate for a healing in my body. So I pushed through the crowd, and I got all the way up next to the platform. And as soon as I got there, Sister Vonnie Marshall came all the way over to me. She made a beeline towards me, and I had never met her. I had honestly never even heard her speak prior to that conference. But she came over to me, and she leaned down, and she spoke in my ear. And she said, stand right here. I'm about to tell you how to get your miracle. So she gave an instruction and we prayed. And I left that conference feeling hope, but I would be lying if I told you that I still didn't have days of depression that followed that day. On June 3rd of 2015, about a month later, I sat in my doctor's office holding back tears as she started to explain to me the series of testing that we were about to begin for infertility. Over the next couple weeks, I still clung to my promise that I would have a son, and I clung to that healing that I believed I had received at the conference in April. And then, on the morning of June 15th, less than 2 weeks after that doctor's appointment, we found out that I was pregnant. I had received my miracle and my healing that day in April, and little did I know. But that day that I sat in the doctor's office and listened to how I was infertile, I was already pregnant. Now, not only do we have one, but we have two perfect, healthy sons. I'm thankful for the healing power of Jesus Christ and for a God that hears our cries and fulfills his promises.
Hallelujah, he's a prayer-answering God. Amen. How many of you can say that God has answered a prayer this year in your life some way? So why don't you just keep that hand up and give him another thanksgiving. Lord, so thankful for every prayer, Lord, that we have prayed and you have answered, God. Hallelujah. Thankful to know that you're still a prayer-answering God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, our last speaker, I've asked Sister Bailey Wright to come. Amen. She don't have quite the heritage or the long line that Brother Smith can talk about, amen, but God's doing great things in her life, and she's going to give us a testimony of what he's doing.
Well, praise the Lord, church. When Brother Spall had asked me to speak, I didn't give him an answer right away. That's because I didn't feel like my testimony was good enough compared to Sister Lindsay's and Brother Daryl's and, Brother Smith's. But on my way home from church that night, the Lord started to bring back some of the things that he's done for me just in this year alone. And sorry if I choke up a little bit. It's just been, he's been so good to me. So with that being said, if there was one word I could give you to describe how good God's been to me this year, it would be faithful. God has opened and closed some doors this year for me that at the time I didn't understand why or what the reason was. But we aren't always supposed to know what the reason is. But even though we don't know the reason, God is still good. But at the beginning of this year, I was all set and ready to go to community college. I was all set and everything. And I'd received 2 free years to go to community college. And I was ready. And I was excited to get started working on my degree and everything, but every time I would pray about it, there was just some part of me that just didn't seem right. Something just wasn't right. So at this point, I became a little upset with God, and I was just asking why, because I thought I had heard from the Lord that community college is where he wanted me to go. So he had opened that door for me to go for 2 free years, but not every door that's open is meant for us to walk through. I learned that the hard way. So I started praying some more about it, and I kept on telling God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'm a willing vessel. Whatever you want me to do, God. So then at this point, March had rolled around. I still hadn't heard from God, getting a little anxious, but that's okay. God is still good. I kept on praying. I still didn't feel good about community college, so I decided to go to Urshan College's preview weekend. I honestly only went because I had a few other friends going, so I was just going to go and fellowship with them and hang out and everything like that. I didn't have it in mind. Urshan was going to be in the plans for me. But on the last night of preview weekend, I was sitting there and I was praying and I was just asking God for direction. Even if it wasn't community college, then what was it, God? Just, I'm ready. I'm whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I started praying that, asking God for direction, and not sure enough, 5 minutes later, he sure did give it. So I had finally heard from the Lord, so I talked to Pastor and to my parents, and everybody was on board for me to go to Urshan. That's what I felt the Lord directing me to do. Everybody was on board except for me, it seemed like. I was so worried because I had started an internship that summer, and at the end of the summer, I wasn't going to have a job to provide for everything. But so the internship was ending right before this school was going to start. But through that time, one of the scriptures that got me through was Philippians 4:6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." So August came around, and I was getting ready to be jobless. But my supervisor had come not a few days later, had told me about a position that had just opened up that was going to work perfectly with my school schedule, and it was just going to be the dream job. So I applied. They called me back for an interview, and on the very same day that I interviewed, they offered me the job. So praise the Lord for that. I've been working at the bank for about 3 months now, and I absolutely love it. It couldn't have been any better. So God has truly blessed me with an amazing job, and I'm so thankful. But God did not stop there. He usually doesn't. So just about 2 weeks ago, I got a call confirming, informing me that I received a scholarship to Urshan College to fund my tuition for next semester. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Even during the times that I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be doing with my life and I just felt so defeated, God would always send people my way, and he would always just send them with encouraging words and just to uplift me, and he would never let me forget that he was always right there by my side. One of the songs that I would actually listen to often whenever I just like felt ready just to give up and just be done and call it quits was "He's Been Faithful." And in that song it says, "In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me." Can we just thank him for that faithfulness, church? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And we all have experienced that faithfulness of God. It's been wonderful to hear from the heart of an elder, the heart of a mom, and the heart of this and the oncoming generation, the wisdom and the blessings of the Lord. And every one of us have some form of testimony of God's faithfulness to us. They sound a little different. They have some different dynamics in them. But one thing that is common is that God has been good. We're just glad he is no respecter of any person. It doesn't matter who we were or who we are. God still loves us. Would you just thank God for his love together, Lord? We do. We thank you. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your love to us. And because he loved us, we allow his love to flow through us. I thank you, Brother Spa, for the coordination of our annual Thanksgiving service. This is always a very special time. And I enjoy the part of hearing from voices we don't normally hear from, that you might say they are quiet, but I'm glad when they're able to take the microphone and testify of God's goodness in their life. So thank you, Brother Spall, for arranging for this service. Appreciate Sister McGuire and the ladies' ministry. They're preparing for us what we're about to enjoy in a few moments. And then thanks to Apostolic Pentecostal Church, at least four times in the New Testament, Pastor Paul expressed a thanksgiving to the churches and the people that he led and pastored. And I am very, very thankful, and I feel very honored to first of all be a minister of the gospel, and then that God would allow me to be led to and called to pastor Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Thankful for the faithfulness of many members of this family who have been members of the APC family for a number of years, and your faithfulness is what has built this church. And then also very thankful for the additions to our church family by water and spirit baptism, and then sometimes it's just by way of job or home relocation that you have come to be a part of the APC family. I thank the Lord that we don't go to church with strangers, but we go to church with family. And that's the way the Lord designed it, to have a wonderful body and family. I also thank God for the wonderful team of people. From time to time, people have asked through the years, how does the church accomplish? And sometimes when I've served various roles in the district and here, how does that happen? And the answer is very quick and very easy. When you have good people around you, they can help to make you look good and help things to go very good. So I'm thankful for Pastor Reaver, who has been very faithful. We've worked together about 30 years. And so we were both 5 years old when we started. And so just started very young and worked together for all of these years. And I deeply respect and appreciate him and his love for this church. Pastor Clark, who pastors our Spanish church, and we are very glad that many of them are able to be here. And they're clapping for their pastor, and we are too. And then Pastor Brad DeLong, our youth pastor. And we love Brother and Sister DeLong and Mila. And all the leaders in the ministry of Apostolic Pentecostal Church and all of the members who serve. Thanks to all of you. Yes. And I am thankful for a church that continues to pursue the vision of Jesus Christ. When this church was founded in 1935, it was founded for the sake of a destiny. And we're still seeking that destiny, and we're not going to stop until the Lord calls us up to be with him in heaven.